Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for February the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two, and our goal always, we're steady as a rock, ladies and gentlemen. That is to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. Welcome to the broadcast. Alan Phillips with us, well-known attorney at law, vaccinerights.com, pandemicresponseproject.com. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Pleasure and honor to be back with you again, Sam. Thanks for having me.
All right. A few things to discuss before we move on to vaccinations and on your lawsuit. We want an update on that as well before the hour ends for sure. But man, this border issue is serious indeed. And I'm not really interested in battling about the wall. You know, I'm not here to debate the Democrats are wrong and Republicans are right. And what I want to say is we do need to realize that national security, ladies and gentlemen, for America and for Americans, should not be a debatable football. It should not be, I'm going to pick the right, I'm going to pick the left, these are my friends, these are my enemies, let's just have a political divide or a whatever. This should be something that we don't really debate about. We just say, hey, we all need to take national security seriously. Am I crazy, Alan?
No, Sam, not at all. I'm right there with you. In fact, when Trump was first planning to run, it became public knowledge that he was planning to seek the presidency.
The great escalator, if you will, right?
Yeah, my immediate reaction was he's a billionaire, he's a member of the club. You don't get to be that level of success unless the controllers decide to let you in the club. That was just sort of my opinion, and so I was very much against him. But I just keep doing my own research and coming to my own conclusions, and when he and others taking and backing his position say simple common sense things like, we've got to stop the drug dealers, the human traffickers, the criminals, and then he very recently, as I'm sure you know, did a speech or talk where he starts listing the statistics and all these thousands and thousands of people in recent months or years that have criminals, that have illegal alien criminals. It's not, and why would anybody oppose that? Well, the only reason I can see, and of course it comes out in the under the guise of what I would call the false pretense of Democrat versus Republican, but and this is your whole
point, or white people against everybody else, or some other goofy divide, right?
Right. That the only conclusion I can tentatively come to, Sam, is that the whole opposition to that has nothing to do with the issue itself. It has to do with the fear of those people who are part of the criminal deep state, or whatever you want to call it, trying to do anything and everything they can to undermine President Trump's credibility, so that he is ultimately prevented from exposing this criminal corrupt system and all that goes with that. And it is so deep, it's so extensive, it's so cancerous in the sense that it, I mean, there are good people everywhere, and that includes the federal government, at least I will.
Yeah, I agree.
Maintain that. But
absolutely. There's rogue agents that we got a problem with, but hey, most people in government and everywhere else are good guys. They're your neighbors, they're your friends, they're your, you know, your relatives, they're your, you know, brother's boss, they're your, okay, and they're good people. There's the few rogue agents, in my opinion, that spoil the barrel, if you want to use a phrase, right?
But the percentage of key decision makers, people running the various government agencies, departments, and so forth, the percentage of those people who have the control. You know, I kept hearing months ago that 99% of the FBI was chomping at the bit to do their investigation of Hillary and company and wanted to see prosecutions go forward, but it only took one guy at the top to say, oh, no problem here, keep on, move along here, move along, no problem. And that shut everything down. Well, I mean, you have to have, leadership and people with decision-making authority and so forth. But the point is this, Sam, from the position of a person or group or entity that wants to control government or control populations generally, you don't have to fool everybody and get everybody collectively in a democratic sense on your side, you need only control a relatively small number of key decision makers, and then from there you can dictate a huge amount of influence to everybody else. So I think what's
sadly true, especially when we don't insist on the checks and balances that made America great, right?
Right, and some of the way things, of course, have been manipulated for a period of many years is to avoid, eliminate, or suppress checks and balances, which is ultimately, I think, or our failure to recognize the need to exercise the checks and balances that are there. Probably,
yeah, and that's a check that our founders warned us about. They said, "What kind of government do we have?" Some of the founding fathers were asked, "Hey, republic, if you can keep it." In other words, hey, you've got a role to jealously guard your liberties, and that's a check and balance right there, sir.
They realized right at the start. I mean, and not surprisingly, of course, because the whole reason to want to move to a new geographic territory and create a new country was to avoid all those same kinds of problems where they came from. So they were well aware of the potential. But I think beyond just wanting to set something up new to avoid the problems of the past, they realized that no matter what efforts they went to, that there would be people attempting to manipulate, control, subvert, and so forth. So they very wisely said, exactly as you just said, Sam, I was thinking the same thing as you were saying it. Enjoy your republic if you can hold on to it, or whatever the phrase was. But that's certainly the essence of it. And
well, and it just shows the importance of our role in being involved. Anyway, I mentioned this border issue. There's a Gallup poll that's saying, hey, 5 million Latin Americans are going to come to America illegally in the next 12 months. Another headline says Gavin Newsom, governor of California, is literally withdrawing several hundred National Guard troops from the border of California in defiance of President Trump's call to protect the border. You got 325 migrants, I would say illegals, by the way, that are apprehended in a single group at the border of Arizona. You got sheriffs are now warning that ICE may be forced to release 8,300 criminal aliens. Okay, now, normally I don't really want to talk about too much of this with Alan Phillips because he wants to talk about vaccines, but I want to highlight a couple of these border issues. Border security advocates join Trump's human wall in New Mexico. Kurt, you want to respond to this one?
All right. Say that again, Sam. Sorry. Somebody was talking to me. You said
border security advocates join Trump's, quote, human wall in New Mexico.
Well, yeah, you got some people that feel like they want to be there trying to fix this problem. And, we saw it years ago. What was it, the Minutemen or the, there were these guys that would go down there in the early days and say, hey, this thing is just leaking and people are coming across. And now you got more and more people that are showing up, besides the law enforcement guys.
And it just shows that people care about this issue. Despite what the mainstream press tells you, people do care. And it's not racist.
Right.
Look, if you had a bunch of white illegal Republicans on the border and ready to come into America illegally and potentially do us harm, I'd be as against them as anybody else. Right? This isn't about race. This isn't about party. This isn't about any of those things. It's about illegality. And it's about national security. And I'm fine if we want to say a wall is just part of that national security discussion. Fine. But I'm telling you, national security is the issue, and these divide tactics that are being employed against us are evil and wrong, and we got to reject that notion. By the way, TX cops form wall of vehicles to help Border Patrol stop illegal, they say migrants, but I'm just going to put an S on illegals. I don't know why they like that migrant term. It makes you believe they're just farm workers coming for a better job, and some of them that may be true. The problem is you don't know who the good guys are and the bad guys are. Right? I mean, I get that people want to come here for a better life. If I had to swim the river to get here, I'd do it too, Alan.
Well, yeah, but it is, the battle here in the mainstream media as it's presented there is designed to obfuscate what's really going on, which is an attempt to distract from the public knowledge for anyone who wants to go out and look and see it and find it, you, not in mainstream media, but readily available otherwise, of very likely criminal activity on the part of former and current administrative officials. And, you know, Trump has got a really difficult and delicate balance here. He could, in theory, intervene in a major way, but it would be portrayed and perceived by many as a dictatorial move, and so it's a politically sensitive situation in terms of what to do and how to do it, but and kind of speaking in the broader sense.
Yeah, and they even have war issue discussions. You know, when they fired these rubber bullets across the border to stop an illegal onslaught, then they said, oh, you're not allowed to fire those things. This is in an international war crime or this and that. You know, so there's a lot of things that we may not even understand that are at play here that President Trump has to wrestle with, right?
Yeah, he's he has taken on an amazingly complex but a historically critical issue, again, the broader sense, which ultimately amounts to exposing and dealing with a long-term systemic corruption within the federal government. I believe it exists to one degree or another at all levels of government, which is what I have discovered in my own personal situation with the North Carolina Bar, for example. But I hear about this from, you know, local government levels right on up to NATO and everything in between. So we've got these are unprecedented times, but also opportunities that go along with that.
Wow. All right. Alan Phillips with us, ladies and gentlemen. A lot to cover in such little time. One other headline, and then Kirk can respond to this on the other side. Hungary backs Trump's wall. Border protection is an obligation of the state, says the country of Hungary. Hold on, folks.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Wow, even the country of Hungary is involved in the border wall, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam. I mean, they recognize that, that's what you're supposed to have. If you've got a country, you're going to have a border. And the headline from Breitbart, Hungary backs Trump's wall, border protection and obligation of the state. Wow.
That's crazy. What do you think of that, Alan? Even Hungary, it's such a world phenomenon that even Hungary weighs in on the matter.
Well, I think it's fascinating. I'm going to sort of generalize with my response here that what's going on here in the U.S. is going on in locations around the world in a wide variety of different permutations or variations, but people waking up to the fact that there is probably throughout the developed world, as well as the undeveloped world for that matter, degrees of corruption in the highest levels of government. And so to have another country speak out as such, I find that very encouraging, not just because of the support that it is on its face, but the indication that there are people in other countries, that individual citizens, but even governments apparently at this level, recognizing and dealing with these criminal factions, the corruption, the behind-the-scenes control in government. So,
there's no question, yeah.
Trump has found himself alone in some situations. I think we were the only country that pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord. And when you look at some of the information in the alternative media about that, there's a strong case to be made for the proposition that that entire accord was set up for trillion-dollar profits selling, what are they called, the carbon shares or something like that. So for him to be the only leader of a Western nation or any nation to have recognized that and acted on it makes him look like the one who's the bad guy, rogue, doesn't care about climate. But in fact, I believe just the opposite, you know, for example. So it's not just a problem dealing with his own internal government problems, but this is something that's systemic throughout the world.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what's interesting about this. The mainstream press, along with the liberal elements in our society, and I don't even know what to call them, because some of them are socialists and some of them are flat-out communists and some of them are whatever, okay? This big umbrella of the hate Trumpers, I'll say. You know, they want you to believe that Trump stands alone, that he's just run this whole country off the rails, that he's just mentally disturbed, and that he's just crazy, and that this border's just this wild, extreme, psychotic obsession. And okay, but now we're starting, and we've heard for quite a while that other countries privately agree with President Trump that these are serious issues, and that nationalism does not mean that you hate the world. Can I be a nationalist in that I love my country? And that I want my country to do well, and I want my country internally to get along and work together and be unified and to follow its laws, but at the same time not hate people, and it's not a racial discussion. Can I do that? And the mainstream press and these extremists have said no, but now we're starting to see not only do nations agree with President Trump privately, they're starting to stand up publicly and acknowledge that this is a legitimate issue worthy of discussion. And it doesn't mean we just hate black people or some other goofy divide tactic they use to manipulate and divide the people over these extreme positions they stake out. The truth is in the middle. I can be a nationalist as opposed to a globalist. I can care about our laws and I can care about our people. That doesn't mean that I hate anybody. You know what? I want to make Mexico great again. I want to make Hungary great again. Okay, but that doesn't mean that I hate any of those people. I want to stop illegal activity everywhere. And I want to stop criminals everywhere. And no matter what color the criminal is, no matter what country the criminal comes from, I want them stopped from abusing good people everywhere. Hey, man, don't hurt me and don't take my stuff. And that applies worldwide, sir. But just because I care about my country, I hope everybody cares about their countries. Doesn't mean I'm running around saying you're some kind of an extreme nationalist. I guess I am a white nationalist. Not because I believe in the ideology they tie to the lie, but because I happen to be white and because I do believe in my country. I mean, it's just the weirdest discussion we're having on the planet. These people manipulate this into psychosis land, sir.
Well, Sam, this is not an accident. This is not on the surface, they try to present it on the surface, this is not a legitimate disagreement of ideals or politics and so forth. These are sophisticated psychological manipulation techniques that are being employed and deployed and implemented to try to shut down what ultimately is a direct threat to the criminal corruption and those people involved in that. So, of course, you know, when you call out corruption, people don't say, oh, darn, you got me here, and they hold out their hands and say, you know, cuff me and take me away. No, they're going to do anything and everything they can to avoid being exposed, to avoid being prosecuted, to avoid being held accountable. And they wouldn't have gotten where they are today, Sam, in the first place, if they had not been employing all along sophisticated psychological techniques to manipulate public perception. So they're doing the same thing again. But, you know, I think it's going to backfire finally in a big way, and it already is, I think, on the border issue, because there just isn't a response. Even with psychological manipulation, there just isn't a response to let's filter out the criminals. You know, there is no response to that, that you know, other than to try to distract, to try to misrepresent, to try to attack the speaker and avoid the issue, those kinds of standard techniques. But I don't think they're going to work anymore, Sam. I think the more they get exposed, the more extreme measures they go to try to keep a lid on it. And the more extreme measures they go to, the more obvious it is that that's exactly what they're doing. And I was, Sam, I'd love to hear your comment or Kurt's comment on this. I was, I don't guess I'd say shocked, but very surprised at the statistics about the State of the Union address, where, I forget the exact number, it was 70-something percent of people thought it was a favorable, you know, had a favorable response to his State of the Union address. I thought it dragged on a little bit long, but overall was very impressed myself. And a significant percentage of that 70% was Democrats. So,
yeah, you're right. Let me tell you my take on that. I'm mixed on this. President Trump said a lot of great things in that speech. There's no doubt about it. And he said a lot of things that I agree with. I'm concerned, though, when we talk about the State of the Union, that we're moving into a little bit of the let's give everybody a little carrot and make everybody feel good, give everybody a little piece of cake so that everybody just kind of loves you, and let's try to put our enemies in kind of a bad position so they're forced to kind of go along with things that if they don't, they look very, very, very foolish. And it was a little bit of that concerns me. The other thing that concerns me is some of the things that he said aren't quite true. And I'll give you an example. You know, when he says the State of the Union is really good, really great, I don't agree with that at all. I think the State of the Union is in serious trouble, primarily because we've turned our back on God and family and country for the most part. Secondly, he said, hey, you know what? We're born free. You know what? I don't necessarily agree with that. I agree we're freer than in most countries by far. But you know what? The second you're born, you get a Social Security number and you got massive debt on your head. That's hardly free. You know, we have regulations everywhere in this country these days. I mean, look, the things that I could do when I was a kid, you couldn't even dream of doing now, or, you know, you'd be in serious trouble. Okay, so then he says, hey, we'll never be a socialist country. Well, I pray he's right. I agree with the point that I want to never be a socialist country. Go look at Venezuela for fruit of that tree, right? Okay, but all I'm saying is that the fact is, hey, we got socialism everywhere in this country. Okay, and for example, hey, I'm for building the wall, but I'm also for getting rid of the handouts to the illegals. You know, we bring them in, give them anchor baby status, birth their babies in the hospital at taxpayer expense, put them in the government schools at taxpayers' expense. By golly, they don't even have breakfast, so we're going to give them lunch in the government school with the food programs. And I mean, it just goes right on through the list. And if you're not an illegal alien, then you're elderly and you get on the Social Security system. Now, the Social Security system is as bad as it is. Hey, it's a Ponzi scheme. They've already spent the money that I've been putting in before I ever even get there. And so, you know, you've got a lot of socialism in America, and to say we'll never be a socialist country, well, I hope he's not hoodwinked and we end up being socialist before he even realizes what's going on. So I get a lot of the good things he says, and I agree. And I want to make America better, and I don't want to just go negative. At the same time, you know, when we're going to spend $500 million of my money on AIDS, I'm just telling people, let's just get out the don't have sex with people and don't do drugs campaign. Unless it's your legally and lawfully wedded spouse, and let them do that with public service. And why don't I keep my money? Thank you very much. Okay, so this is what I mean is that socialism to take $500 million from the taxpayers and fund the Stop AIDS program? And so we need to be very, very careful not to criticize too much and to highlight the true, genuine good. And there was a lot of it, by the way, but yet not eclipse or overlook the concerns. And how do you articulate your concerns but yet be very positive? I think Trump's done more for America than any other president in my lifetime. So let's be clear, I'm not just being critical, but I'm trying to put things in a fair, open, honest perspective. Kurt's response, and then we'll get to vaccines in a second with Alan Phillips on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Former astronaut and high-profile gun control advocate Mark Kelly is running for the U.S. Senate in Arizona. He's the husband of former Democratic Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, and he released a video announcement about his run this morning, saying that his run for the Senate will be his next mission.
Arizonans are facing incredibly challenging issues here in the years to come. Access to affordable health care, the stagnation of wages, job growth, the economy. You know, as the climate warms, we're going to have more drought here in the desert.
Three U.S. Army soldiers are said to be recovering from injuries after a parachute accident in Florida early this morning. It happened over Homestead Air Reserve Base, the Pentagon not detailing what type of malfunction occurred. And this is USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
Amid talk of a possible tentative bipartisan deal that could avert another partial federal government shutdown, but which may not contain as much wall funding as President Trump has demanded, the president was last night in El Paso, Texas, making his case for the wall and also for that previous government shutdown.
But you know what? If we didn't do that shutdown, we would not have been able to show this country, these politicians, the world, what the hell is happening with the border. That was a very important thing we did.
Without a deal the president will sign, there could be another shutdown on Friday. The first of two funerals for the longest-serving member of Congress ever, Democrat John Dingell of Michigan, will be in Michigan today. A second funeral will be in D.C. on Thursday. Acting Secretary of Defense Patrick Shanahan has made an unannounced visit to Baghdad, Iraq today. And this is USA Radio News.
All right, Cynthia Davis just sent me an email, and her headline, in my opinion, kind of highlights the discussion perfectly right before I turn it over to Kurt here on the State of the Union. You know, we ought to talk about the state of our unity a little bit, right? I mean, that's part of the biggest concern that I have in America. If we're not careful, we'll be on the brink of a civil war, for crying out loud. And we really need to consider our unity. All right, Kurt, do you want to respond to Alan's thoughts really quickly?
Well, one thing that Alan mentioned was that he thought that was kind of long and drawn out or whatever. And
yeah, but he finished by saying he thought it was really good.
Yeah, I know. I just want to address that one part, and that is one individual said, well, he thought maybe the president lengthened it out like that so that most people would be passed out and ready to hit the sack before they ever got to hear the Democratic response. And I thought that was probably maybe right on. But
I'm fine to let them hear the other side, because when you see these people foam at the mouth and just propose these crazy, never get along, never have unity stuff, you kind of go, wow, you know, it almost helps.
Good point.
President Trump in his mind.
And the other thing that I feel like he was pretty smart to do, see, typically he's getting 90%+ of any coverage he gets as negative. But the big networks and the standard media kind of have to cover that thing live and just let it roll. So then it's his kind of one chance a year to have the American people tune in, and especially people who've been told, man, this guy's crazy, he doesn't listen, he's out of control in the White House. I mean, we're just, you know, all those things that they're told, it's his one chance for kind of a, you know, yearly rebuttal to all that. And I think he did very well, my opinion.
Alan?
Well, Sam, I think you articulated very well some legitimate concerns, and I have great respect not only for your ability to see and articulate those things, but what that shows about your objectivity, even when you do, your end result is overall strong and favorable. So I think that's terrific, first of all. I just want to acknowledge you for that, and I agree with all the points you made there. But my initial point was simply that, despite the ongoing 90% negative coverage, as Kurt referred to, and all of these psychological tactics being employed, as I refer to, that what we see, I think, what those polls suggest, at least, is that there is a growing unification amongst the people, despite all of that. And if that is actually true, if the polls are indicating some movement in the direction of unification of people, if gradually and maybe reluctantly in some cases, coming to stand at least overall behind the president, that would be an amazing accomplishment.
No question.
The proactive effort to prevent that from happening, do just the opposite.
I couldn't agree more. And I also agree with Kurt's point that, you know what, they want you to believe he's like frothing at the mouth, crazy. You know, he's just sitting in the White House, holed up like a paranoid schizophrenic with a CNN remote in his hand, just knee-jerk reacting to everything they say and do. And, man, the guy doesn't even have a schedule. He's just in there all paranoid and freaking out. Okay, Kurt's right. This is his chance to say, you know what, you guys, here's who I am, here's what I'm doing, here's what I'm working on, and you know what, even Pelosi had to stand up and agree. And so, in that sense, Kurt's right, it's brilliant. And I don't look at my coverage, or Alan's coverage, or Kurt's coverage, or we've had probably 20 people on the radio with different takes on the State of the Union. My goal isn't to obliterate the points they're making. Our goal is to give you as broad of focus coverage and as fair as an analysis as we possibly can. And then you, my fellow Americans, can take away all the valid points made by all the incredible roundtable hosts and participants and et cetera, and draw your own conclusion. See, we're not like the mainstream press. We don't need to tell you what to think. We can just break it down for you and give you the inside scoop the best we can and use our analytic skills and analysis and brilliant thinking. I mean, to me, Liberty Roundtable Live is one of the greatest think tanks in the world because of all the incredible guests we have and Kurt's commentary there's so many of us, and we can break it down like nobody's business, and then you can walk away, my fellow American, and say, hey, I've got the news the networks refuse to use. I've got the most broad, fair, open-minded coverage as I can possibly get, and now I'm going to make up my own mind. Ladies and gentlemen, we're different in the news. We're not afraid of you doing that. In fact, we encourage that, and then you can bring your analysis and your thoughts and your genius to the table, and man, that's what makes America great, baby. I'm telling you right now. All right, so there's another issue here that I want to bring up and dovetail this into vaccinations. To me, it almost seems like vaccines and abortion are like two sides of a very strange coin. I'll explain in just a second. But first, Kurt, you sent me the story from what, Maher? Is that his name?
Bill Maher.
Bill Maher, yeah.
He's basically just a comedy guy at night,
yeah, that's
as
right.
Far as I understand.
But he brought up something interesting.
Well, yeah, you know, he says, we forget at our peril, and when he says our peril, he's talking about the left or the liberals, you know,
his group,
Democrats. Yeah, and then he says, how many people vote on the wall and the womb?
So he's tying abortion and the wall together, abortion and national security together, and I want to dovetail that discussion into the abortion/security/my body thing. When it comes to abortion, you're supposed to just be pro-death and murder everybody, and that's okay. In fact, you can even say, I want to deliver a baby and then make the baby super comfortable while we plot its murder. Okay, that's okay to say. But if I come out and say, hey man, vaccinations are not safe and effective, then they want to just toss me in the loony bin. But the truth is, both of them directly relate to the choices related to someone's body, Alan.
Well, and there's even another obvious tie. There are a number of the vaccines. It's most, I think, of the viral, live viral vaccines. So this would be MMR, hepatitis B, probably hep A. Hello, are you there? I had a click.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Maybe some other vaccines.
That was our surveillance state, guys. Probably, you know, the Jeff Bezos 2 or whatever. You know.
Yeah. But many of these vaccines, the vaccine antigens are cultured on aborted human fetal cells. And it, I think most people don't even realize that. I think a lot of people, if they knew that, might have a different view on just that piece. Vaccines. But, you know, Sam, it took me a long time to come to what I would now call the realization of one of the fundamental goals of vaccines from the perspective of the pharmaceutical industry is that they're used to introduce chronic illness throughout the population because everyone with a chronic illness is then a lifelong customer of other products. And my evidence for that is right out of mainstream sources. It's not a conspiracy theory. We have from the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, we have what's called the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. The pharmaceutical industry has no direct liability for death or disability caused by vaccines, but today...
And by the way, that is absolute insanity. Go ahead, sir.
Well, from any human and common sense perspective, from the greed and profit perspective, it's a gold mine, that'd be the understatement.
Good point.
The vaccine compensation program, just as of a few weeks ago, passed the $4 billion mark. Over less than 30 years, they've paid out over $4 billion, and Health and Human Services has a report that says less than 1% of vaccine adverse events ever get reported. So we have no clue what that 4 billion figure really represents. Is it 400 billion or more? We don't know. So the point here, Sam, and this is not an accident, the vast majority of vaccine adverse events never get reported because if they were reported, the injury compensation program would go instantly bankrupt. The pharmaceutical industry would be revealed as for doing what it is doing, which is creating, using vaccines to create customers for other pharmaceutical products. We're all not, we're expendable. And because vaccines are administered in a one-size-fits-all kind of approach, there's a wide range of reactions from no apparent reaction to death and everything in between. And what's in between is a vast and rapidly growing market of chronic illnesses that creates lifelong customers for other pharmaceutical products. So the vaccine industry itself internationally is roughly in the $35 billion a year level, but that tens of billion dollar industry level is creating a $1 trillion backside market treating all the chronic illnesses created by the vaccines.
If they say it's safe and effective, I'm just going to say, then why are you paying out $4 billion, ladies and gentlemen? Let's just be honest. I hope Donald Trump focuses on that, but I don't have a lot of hope. The problem for President Trump is there's just, as Kurt always says, it's a target-rich environment. There's just too many things to focus on, for crying out loud. However, I want to focus on a couple of interesting stories in the vaccine world. And the first one, and this encourages me, Alan, over 2,000 descend on the Washington State Capitol. Alan has details in seconds. Alan Phillips with us, vaccinerights.com, pandemicresponseproject.com. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they're, you know, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voting for it.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's no broadcast like Liberty Roundtable around the world. If you have the heart to help, donate to the Widow's Mite Radio Network, libertyroundtable.com. News the networks refuse to use. New media taking center stage, that's for sure. Believe it or not, Sam and Kurt, your talk show hosts, have day jobs. We're not begging you to fund our family. We work hard. But you know what? If you want to help our media presence grow, donate today at libertyroundtable.com. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media. 2,000 people, Alan?
This is amazing. Now, I want to, you know, caution that on the one hand, this is exactly what's needed. We have to speak out, and it's not, there's no one's going to step up and save us. It's going to take all of us working together, each of us doing whatever it is we can, but all of that taken together, that's going to ultimately solve not only the vaccine problem, but corruption anywhere and everywhere in government at any and all levels. There has to be a collective outpouring of support. So this is just incredible. 2,000 people descending on the Washington State Capitol up in Washington State, challenging vaccine mandate bill. Sam, a few months ago, there were tens of thousands of people filling the streets in multiple cities in Italy protesting vaccines. And a couple of years ago, maybe a few at this point, in California, there were 10 times as many people showing up to oppose a bill to remove the non-medical exemptions as there were people showing up to support the bill. However, as you know, in California, the bill passed anyway. So this is where I say we've got to be cautious. On the one hand, that doesn't mean, oh, it does no good to show up and speak out. To the contrary, I think that's what we have to do. But we also have to recognize, Sam, that sometimes the system is rigged, and what people oppose, even in mass, still happens anyway. And in Italy, the new vaccine mandates were imposed. And in California, the bill passed anyway, despite massive opposition. So the opposition is necessary, but it doesn't apparently necessarily determine the end result. Now, the good news in Italy is that they were later revoked. The will of the people was recognized. So we have yet to see that take effect in California. But as they kept saying in California, and I think it's one of the best sort of summary slogans of the alternative vaccine movement is, we won't go away. No, people are being killed and disabled, required by law. How can you require something by law? And here in this Facebook page, talking about the 2,000 people showing up at the Washington State Capitol, it's real simple. I mean, the vaccine issue is complex, but this one piece to me says it all. And they say you have to tell your legislators that you will not tolerate being coerced into doing a medical procedure that comes with a risk of death and injury with a product that is liability-free. They have no liability. You cannot sue them if you or a loved one is injured or killed by a vaccine.
And this is why I say it's kind of the two sides of a coin, abortion and vaccines, because on one hand, they say you can do whatever you want with your body, and how dare you suggest otherwise. And on the other hand, well, you don't really have a choice in this matter, right?
Right, and I would say cynically, but I think with clear objective evidence supporting it, you know, follow the money and you'll see, you know, where that comes. They, you know, Vaccines, as I say, are creating customers, and so they got to keep the vaccines in there and not only keep them in there but require you so they can maximize the new customers, the number of new customers they're making. And if you allow abortion, then, you know, you got customers there, at least for the doctors performing the procedure, so and the hospitals where they're conducted and so forth. So, you know, the common element there, it's as obviously and blatantly hypocritical as you presented it, and yet on the money level, you know, again, follow the money. There's the common common line there, or at least a common line.
Anyway, I'm grateful that 2,000 people realize how critical this issue is. I wish it was 200,000, though. And they make the point very well, and this does boil it down into a very simple understanding that, hey, you know what? We want to challenge. The mandate is the part of this that I think people are challenging. They're just saying, wait a minute, whoa. Don't we get a choice here? And where's all the pro-choice folks, ironically, that should be standing up for choice and accountability? And I can go on and on and on. Two other quick stories before the end of the hour relating to vaccines, though. Northwest measles outbreak revives the debate about vaccine laws. So, hey, that's in the mix too, right?
Well, yeah, there's all kinds of outbreaks, whether they're happening or not, or whether they're induced or natural. But, of course, regardless of the answer to those questions, they're being used by the mainstream media and the pharmaceutical industry to create fear so people will rally behind these bills to remove the exemptions. And yet, when you look at the actual reality, actual facts, most outbreaks, and even the CDC has admitted this on their own website, most outbreaks start in vaccinated children, not in the unvaccinated. And before there was a measles vaccine, measles was something that parents wanted their kids to get. You get it and you get it over with. It was nothing more serious than a cold with spots. And we know from the medical literature that if you've had these childhood diseases in childhood, you have a lower risk of certain kinds of cancer and other chronic illnesses as an adult. So there's nothing to fear by getting the measles, except it will, if you do that instead of getting a vaccine, or if you risk that instead of getting a vaccine, then you're biting into pharmaceutical profits, which, of course, they don't like. But, you know, we have to recognize what's really going on here, Sam, in this country, that profits are being given greater concern than the health and well-being of citizens.
And you know what it reminds me of? When we talk about the military-industrial complex, all the wars we're in, and somebody says, hey, we ought to back out of some of these wars, a lot of the mainstream press says, yeah, but there's a lot of jobs in the military-industrial complex. And that's kind of the same discussion here, where when you point out the reality that $4 billion have been spent on these, you know, injuries and things when they say they're safe and effective, but then they talk out of both sides of their mouth and say, well, we know there's injuries, but it's kind of a necessary evil here. And, okay, the same thing's true here. They're just saying there's so many jobs and so many people's lives are at stake with regards to finances and money, and that we can't dare back out of this discussion. And but the truth is, more people are starting to realize what's going on here. When you take away people's choice, people start to stand up and take notice. And over 2,000 get it with this measles outbreak. Hey, there's a lot of people that have these vaccines that are getting sick too. And oftentimes the vaccines are what actually spread the disease. But there's one more story that Kurt wants to bring up that I think is relevant to this, where people are waking up, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. The headline reads, half of parents worry flu shot makes children sick. A third believe it doesn't work at all. And so they've, you know, of course, this is a study, and it's medical researchers at Orlando Health Arnold Palmer Hospital for Children. And they did this survey, and they show that many parents still feel nervous about the vaccine, despite its overwhelming support by doctors. People are seeing through the lies.
And the more we tell the tale of freedom, the more people will understand it's about choice and it's about accountability. All right. Hey, Alan, give us an update really quick on your lawsuit, would you please?
Yeah, I was in court this last Thursday, first time on the case. This was concerning discovery, which is an umbrella term for when one party asks the other side to cough up information and documents, and I refuse because they have a conflict of interest. I have complaints against them. They're pursuing a case against me. They have to get outside counsel. Well, Sam, some really interesting things happened at the hearing. We don't have a ruling from the judge yet, so we'll see where the court decides to go with it. But, Sam, these bar attorneys told the court, oh, Allen's complaints against us, no problem there, no conflict of interest here. We gave those complaints to an attorney at the North Carolina Bar who was not named in the complaints, and therefore there was no conflict of interest. Well, Sam, that's ludicrous on its face, but it's even more ludicrous when you consider the fact that my complaints named the grievance committee chair, who oversees all investigations, and the bar counsel, who oversees all the attorneys at the bar. By definition, it is impossible for any bar attorney to not be conflicted. This means, and they had somebody there in court to testify, another attorney from the bar, from the one who was making the argument to the court. So this means that in open court, they essentially confessed to a conspiracy to engage in misconduct, because any time an attorney deliberately misleads or lies to a judge, that is a severe ethical violation in and of itself. And there were other instances, I won't take the time right now, we don't have, but the bottom line is they have repeatedly engaged in misconduct in order to prevent allegations of misconduct to see the light of day, to prevent a proper investigation of themselves. And if they are willing to engage in misconduct to prevent an investigation against themselves, what is it that's so important to hide that they're willing to violate the law to keep it hidden? So stay tuned for upcoming events, because I'm going to jump all over that with my next steps in this lawsuit. And Sam, I will absolutely, of course, come back and keep you updated on that. So things are going to get just more and more interesting here. And there's going to be an opportunity for your listeners and anyone else who wants to participate as part of a grassroots effort to put a public spotlight on this, because the system will keep covering it up and suppressing it and pretending there's no problem to avoid the embarrassment, the expense, the exposure of the corruption and so forth, unless there are is just a massive outpouring of public support saying, hey, look, it's time that we quit hiding all this, that we do a proper investigation, and then go wherever that leads us.
Well, I know this. Our prayers are with you. And this just goes to show, when you shine the light of truth, ladies and gentlemen, the cockroaches scramble. And this is what's going on here. It's been corrupt for a long time, and now they don't know what to do. And the question is are they just going to basically double down and say, hey, we've got a kingdom here, and we're just going to crush you like an ant? Or are we going to have the American way? Justice? Are we going to have due process of law? Are we going to have a fully informed jury? Are we going to have true accountability? Are we going to have the facts to be really drawn out? Are we going to respect the conflict of interest issue that Alan Phillips is bringing up? Are we going to have a transparent, speedy trial? Are we going to and that's really the telltale of what's going to happen here. Are they going to be open and honest and call a spade, or are they just going to smack down for the sake of defending the quote status quo, or whatever you want to say, the rogue agents in government? Time will tell, Alan, and you're certainly on the, I don't know what you want to say, warpath to find out.
Well, a failure is not an option here. You know, if they can do whatever they're going to do, including take my license, but it would be, there's corruption here, it needs to be exposed, and if they take it to that extent, they're just going to see me, you know, the more they try to suppress me, the louder I'm going to talk. So that's all I have to say about it on that point.
Well, our prayers are with you, sir, and I know it's a tough battle. I hope you can keep your livelihood happening and support your family while it all goes on. That's one of the things that they try to do, is even if they know they can't win, they just grind you down into hopefully they can just kind of outlast you and win. We pray that you get the support you need to make sure that does not happen, and we see an honest, open, transparent, honorable conclusion to this.
Thank you so much, Sam.
All right, my friend, Godspeed. There he goes, Alan Phillips, vaccinerights.com. I'm telling you right now, he's the only vaccine attorney that has the guts to really open up and talk about what's really going on. And that's why we like him, because to us, it's about the truth. To us, it's about transparency. It's not about picking sides. It is about choice and accountability. It is about honesty and transparency. After all, honesty is the issue, isn't it, folks? We believe in America, ladies and gentlemen. It's the greatest country on the face of the earth. We got problems to fix, and we're all about working on them. But let's not go negative. Let's understand and be grateful and do our very best. Pray for the president, would you please? We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Will you please get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right? We declare this nation shall endure.